Tens of thousands of pilgrims, many of them from the German region of Bavaria, joined dozens of cardinals and hundreds of priests from the Diocese of Rome on Sunday for a special mass marking two key events this week: Pope Benedict's 80th birthday on Monday and the second anniversary of his election to the pontificate on Thursday. Many of the Pope's countrymen and women wearing their traditional Bavarian costumes were on hand in a sunny St. Peter's Square for the Mass, which marked Divine Mercy Sunday, an observance instituted by Pope Benedict's predecessor, John Paul II. My colleague Christopher Altieri has all the details.
Tens of thousands of faithful gathered in the square to give thanks to God for the Pope's long life, as well as for his election to the papacy on the 19th of April 2005. The man who became Pope Benedict XVI was born on April 16, 1927, in Marktl am Inn, a riverside town in the southern German state of Bavaria. Over 60 cardinals, bishops, and officials of the Roman Curia participated in the celebration of the Mass, including the prefect of the Congregation for Divine Worship and the Discipline of the Sacraments, Cardinal Francis Arinze.
We are with great joy around the Holy Father, celebrating, thanking God for 80 years of his life. Life in which the goodness of God has shown itself in the beautiful contribution Pope Benedict has made to the Church and to society and to the world. We, not only those of us here in Rome, all around the world, we wish the Holy Father many more years of this beautiful service of the love of God and of the mercy of God.
At the beginning of the Mass, the Dean of the College of Cardinals, Cardinal Angelo Sodano, remembered how the whole church sang the words of Psalm 117 on Easter Sunday.
Questo è il giorno fatto dal Signore. Rallegriamoci ed esultiamo in esso.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. With these sentiments, said Cardinal Sodano, we are gathered around the altar of the Lord on this day to give thanks to him for the gifts he has given to your holiness during the course of your life, and for the gift the Lord made of you to us 2 years ago, when he made you our sure guide on our way. The Pope thanked Cardinal Sodano for his opening words and expressed his appreciation for the presence of Metropolitan Archbishop of Pergamum, Ioannis Zizioulas, Patriarch Bartholomew I's special envoy to the celebration. The Holy Father voiced his appreciation for the kind gesture and his hope that the Catholic Orthodox theological dialogue may continue with renewed vigor.
Il dialogo teologico cattolico ortodosso possa proseguire con lena rinnovata.
In his homily, Pope Benedict recalled that the second Sunday of Easter is traditionally celebrated as Dominica in Albis, White Sunday, because the newly baptized would once again put on the dazzling white garments of their baptism.
Il Santo Padre Giovanni Paolo II volle.
The Holy Father also recalled how his predecessor, the servant of God, John Paul II, desired that Dominica in Albis also be celebrated as Divine Mercy Sunday. Recalling how his predecessor lived under two dictatorial regimes and knew poverty, need, and violence, Pope Benedict said his predecessor experienced the power of darkness, which, said the Pope, is still profoundly insinuated into our own times. Pope Benedict said John Paul II also experienced no less strongly the presence of God that opposes all those forces with the divine power of mercy, which is totally different. It is mercy, said Pope Benedict, that places a limit on evil.
È la misericordia che pone un limite al male.
At the conclusion of the Mass, Pope Benedict prayed the Regina Caeli with the faithful gathered in the square.
Regina Caeli letare, alleluia.
Before the joyful Marian hymn of victory, Pope Benedict expressed gratitude to those who came and extended what he called his most sincere thanks from the depths of his heart to the entire church, which, like a true family, especially in these days, surrounds him with its affection. After the Regina Caeli, Pope Benedict greeted the faithful in many languages, including English.
Into this gospel, the Lord Jesus extends to us the gift of his peace. May his peace fill your hearts and inspire you to spread the good news of his resurrection. I thank you for a prayerful presence. A happy Easter to you all.
My thanks there to Chris Altieri for that report. And as you heard there, it's not just Catholic leaders and faithful who have been sending greetings to Pope Benedict for this 80th birthday, but representatives of other churches as well. The General Secretary of the Geneva-based World Council of Churches, Dr. Samuel Kobia, sent a message thanking Pope Benedict for his example and for his commitment to our common Christian faith. And from the Anglican Communion, here's Bishop John Flack, Director of the Anglican Centre and representative of the Archbishop of Canterbury here in Rome.
I'd like to say a big thank you to Pope Benedict for his moral leadership, which is appreciated by many Anglicans across the world, also for his teaching office. It's been very evident to me in his pronouncements and in his weekly audiences and in his sermons that he is very good at teaching people about the Christian faith, and that's come over very strongly indeed. At the beginning of his pontificate, he said that he was committed to Christian unity, and Anglicans across the world were delighted with the reception he gave to our leader, the Archbishop of Canterbury, when Archbishop Williams came to Rome in November, and the friendship and the common purpose between the Pope and our Archbishop were very evident then. So we're very grateful too for that. And I think he gives a shining example of what it means to be a priest and a Christian minister to not only to his own flock, but to many outside it. And like Pope John Paul II, we do feel that Pope Benedict is, in many ways, one of our leaders, and not just the leader of the Roman Catholic flock. And for that, we're very grateful.
Bishop John Flack is Director of the Anglican Centre and representative of the Archbishop of Canterbury here in Rome. On his birthday, meanwhile, Pope Benedict celebrated Mass, then met with a series of well-wishers here in the Vatican. He had lunch with the cardinals and attended a special concert in the evening in his honour. Amongst the more unusual birthday gifts the Pope received were a special brew of Bavarian beer and a giant teddy bear which he donated to the local children's hospital, Bambin Gesù, as the Pope's personal secretary, Father Georg Ganswein, told my German colleague Gudrun Seiler.
Ein wunderschönes Stück, das hat der Heilige Vater dann in die Kinderabteilung der Klinika Bambin Gesù weitergegeben.
Father Georg says the Pope has received a great number of letters and gifts, including flowers, books and music CDs, although he said that rather than personal gifts, he prefers to receive offerings that he can then use to help places like the Middle East, African countries or other areas of need. And if you wish to send your own birthday greetings to Pope Benedict, well then you can still do so on the Vatican website. That's simply www.vatican.va. Meanwhile, as Vatican Radio Director General and Papal Spokesman Father Federico Lombardi reminded us earlier, Pope Benedict also has his own gift that he wishes to share with us. His first book as Pope, entitled Jesus of Nazareth, appeared in the bookshops on Monday in Italian, German and Polish editions. Next month, the book will also be available in English, and translations are planned in more than a dozen other languages as well. Journalist John Allen, who has written a biography of the Pope, says it's highly significant that he should choose to publish such a theological volume to mark his 80th birthday.
I think the fact that on the occasion of his birthday he is issuing a book, and a book that is not a kind of casual memoir, but it is actually a fairly complex work in biblical exegesis and Christology, a study of Jesus of Nazareth. Is also indicative that one of the distinguishing characteristics of this man is somebody who simply loves to wrestle with ideas.
In his book, the Pope talks a lot about the emptiness of our modern and materialistic world, and he berates the rich countries for plundering Africa and other poor nations and exporting to them the cynicism of our godless world. Do you see these as key concerns of Pope Benedict?
Well, there's no question that Benedict XVI has a sort of dark streak to his understanding of modernity, or what many now call post-modernity. I mean, let's remember that the day before the conclave in which he was elected to the papacy, then Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger memorably described what he called a dictatorship of relativism as the central challenge facing the church today. Clearly, he believes that the modern tendency to sort of divorce reason from faith has produced a kind of nihilism and a kind of surrender on objective standards of morality that has produced a lot of poisonous fruits. The Western tendency to kind of pillage and sack the developing world is one example. But on the other hand, I think one should not conclude from that that Benedict XVI is nothing but an unrelieved pessimist. I mean, actually, I think one of the striking aspects of his papacy over these 2 years has been the very obvious determination on the part of the Pope to phrase his pitch in a positive tone. And therefore, while the Pope does have some fairly deep concerns about some of the intellectual and cultural features of modernity, on the other hand, you know, he is not simply a Jeremiah waving his finger at it. We saw, for example, in Deus Caritas Est, his first encyclical, that he is capable of writing about things such as human erotic love in remarkably positive tones. And so I think the story here is a Pope who is trying to be as realistic as possible in capturing both the shadows but also the points of light that he sees in contemporary culture.
How does Pope Benedict differ most from his predecessor in his style as a pope, in his personality?
Well, I think the striking thing about the relationship between John Paul II and Benedict XVI is that these two men at one level could share a great symphony of ideas, but at another level, obviously, be very different personality types. You know, I think the thing to remember is that had John Paul II not been a pope, he probably would have been an actor, whereas had Benedict XVI not been a pope, he certainly would have been a university professor. And, you know, these are two very different slices of life. John Paul II was one of those, you know, historically unique, charismatic personalities that simply towered over virtually any other figure on the global stage of his era. You know, Benedict XVI is not that sort. He is a much more shy, in some ways, retiring figure. He doesn't have the obvious media charism of John Paul. And yet, I think what is striking at the same time is the way that Benedict XVI has been growing into this very public role of his. And yet, at the same time, you know, obviously determined to protect his time, protect his schedule, so that he can also make the contribution, I think, that he believes he was elected to make, which is to teach, to write, to inspire in that sense, rather than through the kind of huge public mega events that one associates with the pontificate of John Paul II.
Coming back to the Pope as a man, he seems to enjoy good health for an 80-year-old and to be pretty spry for his age, doesn't he?
Oh, no question about that. I think his stamina and his energy levels have surprised pretty much everyone. But on the other hand, you know, that's not just an accident. He and his team in the Vatican made the decision from day one that they were going to protect his schedule as much as possible in order to make sure that he was not overtaxed. So, you know, he's not celebrating beatification ceremonies. He is not taking the same number of private and public audiences that John Paul II did. He is not traveling the same distances for the same number of days that John Paul II did early in his papacy. And, of course, this is because John Paul was 58 at the time of his election. Benedict XVI was 78. But I think that decision to try to protect the Pope as much as possible is clearly paying off, because when he does perform in public, he seems remarkably energetic and on top of his game.
Journalist and author John Allen are talking there with my colleague Susie Hodges.